How are you, Harry? Longstreet said. Heath turned, squinted, blinked.
I'm fine, he said.
What's happening? Are you going to attack? Where's my division? Lee said. Your division will not fight today, General. I want you to rest. There was that tone in his voice, that marvelous warmth, that made them all look not at Heath, but at Lee, the graybeard, the dark-eyed, the old man, the fighter.
Sir, I'm fine, Heath said,
but he could not even stand without the hand on the tree. Lee smiled.
Of course, sir. But I would rather you rested. We will soon be needing you.
He turned back to the table. Gentlemen, he said. They moved out. Alexander was off to place the artillery. McLaws moved out to join his division. Hood walked for a moment at Longstreet's side.
We marched all night, Hood said. Took a two-hour break from 2 a.m. to 4, then marched again to get here.
I know, Longstreet said.
Law's people will come even further with no rest. It's 24 miles to Guilford. He left at 3 a.m.
When he gets here, he'll be pretty tired.
Hood squinted at the sun.
Not that it makes much difference, I guess.
But one thing, General. Everybody here has had first crack at the water. I want to round some up for Law's boys when they arrive. They'll be thirsty. Wells may be dry.
See to it, Longstreet said, any way you can.
He paused, watched the men around him moving into motion, men mounting horses, cannon moving past and swinging into position, the artillery people beginning to dig trenches alongside the guns. He said,
Your idea of moving to the right was sound, but his mind was set.
Well, we'll do what we can. He turned. At moments like this, it was difficult to look a man in the eye. He put out his hand.
Well, Sam, let's go to it. Take care of yourself.
Hood took the hand, held it for a moment. Sometimes you touched a man like this, and it was the last time. And the next time you saw him, he was cold and white and bloodless, and the warmth was gone forever. Hood said,
And you, Pete?
He walked away, thin, awkward, long, bony strides. Longstreet thought,
Best soldier in the army. If it can be done, he will do it. He and Pickett. My two. Oh, God, there's not enough of them. We have to spend them like gold in single pieces. Once they're gone, there will be no more.
Sorrel appeared with a tin plate, a steaming slab of meat.
What's that?
Longstreet sniffed.
Bit of steak, sir. Compliments of Major Moses.
Longstreet picked it up in his fingers, too hot, sucked the ends of his fingers.
Delicious.
Major Moses thought you wanted fighting food, sir.
Longstreet ate with slow delight. Hot food for a hot day. Will be much hotter later on. Longstreet moved toward his command. The corps was to be led into position by Lee's engineer, Captain Johnston, who had scouted the area this morning. Lee had gone off to see Ewell to explain the attack to him. Longstreet told Johnston,
Time doesn't matter here. What matters is surprise. We must go on unobserved. We're hitting them on the flank. If they see us coming, they'll have time to swing round their artillery and it'll be a damn slaughter. So you take your time, Captain. But I don't want us observed.
Johnston saluted, his face strained.
Sir, he said, may I make a point?
Make away.
General Lee has ordered me to conduct you to the field. But, sir, I scouted the Union position this morning, not the roads leading to it. I don't know much more about how to get there than you do.
Longstreet sighed. Stuart's fault.
If there were cavalry here, the roads and routes would be known. Longstreet said,
All right, Captain, but anything you know is more than I know.
But, sir, General Lee is giving me responsibility for an entire corps.
Johnston sweated.
I know, Captain. It's a weight, isn't it? Well, you lead on as best you can. If you get nervous, call. But I don't want us observed.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir. He rode off.